Yes, hello. It is podcast time.
Let's go!
Yes, hello, and welcome to the Arch Independent Show. I am Tommy. I am the host. It is episode 12 of the 2024 Arch Independent podcast series. And today, it's sort of a true crime kind of episode, because we're going to talk a bit about the Apple River stabbing. Ooh, the Apple River stabbing. Some quick background, in case you may not be familiar with the Apple River stabbing. Back in July 2022, there was an incident in a river in Wisconsin. So let's kind of break that down a little bit. In western Wisconsin, right up against the Minnesota border, for those of you who are geographically knowledgeable, what folks do in the summertime to cool off, since they don't have an ocean, is apparently they go to a river and they inflate old tire tubes, like inflatable tubes, and they barge up, create these kind of floating little groups, and they go down the river and they get shithouse drunk in the sun, and that's kind of summer. As you might guess, it's very much a young person event, or typically it's going to be dominated by younger people who are out on the river enjoying each other's company, getting wasted on White Claws and whatever else young 17-year-olds might be drinking. But on this July day in 2022, it all goes bad, real bad. And what happens, apparently, now that we have had a full trial, so we have a fairly good understanding of the facts of the event, and we've had a verdict and sentencing, so we've got the whole package all the way through to the conclusion. If you already know the outcome, this probably isn't the show for you, but if it's your first time hearing about the Apple River stabbing, this one could be a hoot. Well, I don't know, is hoot the right word to use for homicide on a river where people are supposed to be just having fun in the summer? I don't know. It's kind of a morbid sense of humor, but I feel like you understand what the show is about at this point. So let me move on to the introductions, starting with Mr. Nikolai Mew. Now, Mr. Mew is not a teenager. In fact, he's 54 years young, and on this July 2022 afternoon, him and his wife left their home in Minnesota, so they're coming from the other side of the border to go over to this Apple River Recreation Complex in Wisconsin, where folks put their tubes in the water, they float down the river, they have a good time. The Mew Group is older, and instead of just getting drunk, they also have stuff like snorkels, and, you know, it's kind of a middle-aged thing to do. It's the guy out there with the metal detector at the beach, if you will, you know, so no big deal. It's all good. Well, it could have been all good, but it wasn't. Instead, there's going to be an altercation, and that altercation is created almost entirely by a group of teenage boys who are also floating on the river that day along with Nick Mew. And these five teenage boys hail from Stillwater, Minnesota. That's a small town right on the Wisconsin border. The 2020 census reports it as under 20,000 people. So kind of a rural thing with these teenage kids, and they're getting just wasted on the river. Due to how the altercation develops, we end up with their blood alcohol numbers, and they are just shithoused. Apparently what happened that day on the river is the five drunk boys thought they had an opportunity to make a video, and they see Nick Mew in the river kind of doing this dorky snorkeling thing, and they start calling him a pedophile and a child toucher and all types of weird things to try and create an interaction with Nick Mew. And that interaction does happen, because what Nick Mew is actually doing with his snorkel at this time is looking for a phone that someone from his little float party had dropped in the river. And they're drinking too. They're not quite as shithoused, it doesn't seem, as the boys, but everyone on the river is drinking. Alcohol is all throughout this tale, and we probably wouldn't be here without it, so careful with that booze, kids. It can get you in some real trouble. End of public service, back to the story. So the teens are harassing Nick Mew, and Nick does something that turns out to be rather unwise. Our teen friends on the river are making a video. We can watch it. There's no dispute about what's happening. And Nick makes the rather unwise decision to kind of rush at the boys. Apparently, he thinks that they may have the phone that they dropped and they're taunting him with it. All he knows is they're taunting him. He's looking for something. One of the kids is holding a phone up, but what they're actually doing is making the video. So he's got that all wrong. He kind of slips and falls as he's charging at them, and that just causes them to go into more kind of hysterical laughter and harassment of him. It's starting to turn a little sinister. There's some pretty sick stuff going on here. We've got five drunk teenagers, and instead of kind of having a good time down the river and just letting the old man with the snorkel do his thing, they're going to get in his face and try and make a TikTok. And doesn't end well for them. They did make a video, then it did go viral. It didn't go well for all of them, but hey, you got the pop, baby. Without a doubt, you're famous now. You're at least famous enough to be on this podcast. So our Apple River 5 teens are having this interaction with this 54-year-old Nick Mew. They have the interaction. There's now some separation. So he's probably 10 yards away from them. And another breakpoint. We probably could have had an end to the entire situation right there, but no, because the teenage boys are now gonna go at him. So they start following him. They get off the floaties, and now they're walking towards him. I guess to better set that stage, these rivers that you float down, they're not deep. This ain't the mighty Mississippi that they're rolling down. It's the Apple River. It's literally like a foot and a half deep in some places, probably waist deep, maybe even 6 feet deep in some small areas, but it's not a deep river of any type of kind like that. It's probably, I don't know, 300 feet wide. I didn't capture that detail from the docket. It's in the docket if you want it, but it's, you know, so maybe a football, but maybe a football field wide. You're talking a foot and a half of water in most places. So that's where our altercation is happening. And at this point, if you want to call it stage two, with stage one being the boys start harassing Nick, and then Nick kind of charges at them and falls down. So that's the end of stage one. Stage two being after he falls down, now there's kind of 10 yards between them as they get off the raft and they start walking at him, continuing to taunt him. They're making a video. They're not going to stop now. They've got this klutzy old man falling down in the river and they're going to make the most of it. But what I don't think they expected is another group that was floating by decides they're going to get involved. So some more introductions now. This next group that's going to enter the altercation is made up of a couple of females and their associated males who don't actually get involved. So there's a group of about five of them, of which the two females decide they're going to get up and come enter the altercation. Their names are Riley Madison and Madison Cohen. And they're older. They're about 24 at the time of the incident. They're also from Minnesota, small town. And of course, we have their blood alcohol numbers and their shitface too, of course. So the five drunk teenagers, the two drunk females are now coming at Nick Mew and they're all screaming at him. And the Madison Cohen girl is like the queen of the river, the Karen of the river. She starts telling Nick Mew that he has to leave, which is kind of bizarre behavior on her part to enter an altercation that she has no idea what's going on and immediately decide that she's going to join five drunk teenage boys in harassing this 50-year-old dude. Now, what nobody other than Nick Mew knows at this point is Nick has a knife in his pocket. And in testimony, he said that he commonly carries a pocket knife and he regularly uses it when he tubes the river to cut rope as they tie their inflatable tubes together to create their little floating barge. So it did make sense that you would have the knife. That really wasn't out of the ordinary that you would have a small pocket knife. It is going to start getting out of the ordinary, though. The video presented in the trial makes clear that what happens next is Madison Cohen gets right up on Nick Mew, and she is all hands, all demands. She's giving him some shoves. She's pointing. Everyone is still kind of yelling like a hyena at this guy. And then the moment arrives. With the two females and five males around him and more approaching, which in court they determined ultimately to be 13. There were 13 people around Nick Mew when he rose his left arm to knock Madison Cohen's arm off of him. And that was the trigger for the first punch to be thrown and landed on Nick Mew's face. He then fell backwards down into the river, where he was hit in the face again. He started to get up, was open hand slapped across the face for the third strike before he finally got back to his feet. And as he got to his feet, one of the boys, AJ Martin, was beginning to lunge towards him. But what AJ didn't know is that Nick had produced the knife from his pocket at that point. The blade was open and Mr. Martin was basically gutted like a pig. Thankfully for him, he survived, still with some fairly gruesome and lifelong injuries. So that was the immediate price that Mr. Martin paid for lunging on top of the guy they were beating down. Now, I'm breaking it down in this kind of frame-by-frame description, but all of this is happening within a 4-second, 5-second span. So these are millisecond-type actions that are happening one after another. There's no pause between them. Arm goes up to knock the queen's hands off of him, immediately punched and then shoved down, hit in the face again, try to get up, open hand slap, get to your feet, next guy jumping at you, whoop! Blades open, gutted. Nick continues to turn to the right. The blade goes into the side of Miss Riley Madison. She survives, but also with serious injuries. Nick then spins the other way and stabs two more individuals. And this is where it gets to be kind of a complete trip. The two individuals he stabbed were Dante and Tony Carlson, two brothers who were from yet a third group that was near the altercation that day. And they're tubing with their dad, Mr. Quentin Carlson. And in his testimony, old man Quentin made clear that he told his two boys, hey, get over there and help that guy before they beat the shit out of him. So as they were approaching with the intent, it seems, to help, actually defuse the situation, it had already gone sideways and they end up getting stabbed for being in the vicinity. Again, it's happening so quick that nobody yet realizes that there is a stabbing going on. The people who've been stabbed kind of know it, but there isn't an awareness among that whole group of 13 people that this has gone really off the rails. So another one of the teenage boys jumps at Nick Mew and he gets stabbed one time, but unfortunately for him, the blade went right into his heart, and that's kind of a critical organ, so he drops dead right there in the river, and now everybody knows there's a stabbing going on, and it's hysteria. And amidst the chaos, as everyone's now fleeing, Nick Mew just kind of walks away. And the video stops at this point. So that's the end of what we know to a certainty via video evidence. I guess to recap real quick, we had Act 1. Old man Nick is snorkeling around in the river. He's looking for his lost cell phone. The five drunk-ass teenagers think they've got a chance to harass an old man for a video. So they start to do that. Nick Mew makes the unwise decision to kind of rush at them. He falls down, and that probably should have been the end of it, but Act 2, our drunk teenage friends want to take it further, so they're going to get off their float and start going at Nick, and they may not have meant it, but they attracted the attention of the two females who couldn't wait to rush over and join in bullying the old man. And now we've got a situation. Nick raises the arm to get Karen of the River's hands off of him. That's the trigger for the dudes to start kicking his ass, but they don't know he's got the knife. So now two of them have serious injuries. One of them is dead in the river. And unfortunately, two seemingly innocent bystanders who are apparently going to try to help calm the situation take minor stab wounds. So I guess if there's a silver lining in this whole thing, the two people who were apparently trying to help get minor stab wounds. Of course, Nick's case was self-defense. They're kicking my ass. I've got a knife. The only people who get stabbed are those who were attacking me or when I was getting up to defend myself. If you were in the area, you know, it was all so hectic. Sorry to the two guys who I probably shouldn't have stabbed, but, you know, it was a melee. Notice that I didn't stab any of the other teenagers that didn't come near me, and I didn't stab any of the Queen of the Rivers party because they never really got into his immediate halo. They were always back a little bit. So that's Nick's position, and that would seem like a really open and shut case, wouldn't it? You would think, yeah, okay, self-defense. But we live in a really weird world, homies. So check out what Nick Mew does. And this is compiled from testimony. There's no video of this, but Nick is able to walk away from the chaos. There's nobody following him. There's nobody on his heels. It almost seemed counterintuitive when I was listening to the testimony. I was like, I would think that somebody would follow or photo, but I guess after you start putting the blade in people, nobody wants any more TikToks. So Nick gets to walk away. But what he does is, instead of walking back to his tube, his wife, his party of friends, he walks towards an empty part of the river shore and throws the knife away. So we're going to discard the weapon. And that's obviously a highly questionable decision. I get he's in a heightened state. He just had this attack happen and then he stabbed people and now he's probably having a very panicky moment. However, even in a panicky moment, discarding the weapon, not a very good decision, but he does it, and then he makes his way back to his tube party. He doesn't say anything to them about the stabbings, he just wants to move on. He was like, yeah, that was crazy, let's get out of here, and that's what they do. But that's not going to be good enough, because when there's a dead body in the river, the authorities tend to come. And they came, and they shut down the river, so it wasn't too long before Nick Mew was being questioned. And now we're back to video evidence. We've got police body cam of this. During the approximately 2.5-3 minutes of questioning, Nick Mew omits all parts of his involvement in the incident, says he heard that there may have been an incident, but otherwise just leaves the whole thing out, that he was attacked and stabbed some folks, then threw the knife by the shore. So we're making bad decision after bad decision here, Mr. Mew. It seems like a pattern. Naturally, Nick is going to become a person of interest, and he's going to get a follow-up interview. Also on video, this one down at the police station and under interrogation, which Nick decides to do without the presence of an attorney. Homies, what do we know? Besides death and taxes, the only certainty in this life is that you will not answer questions from any law enforcement agency without the presence of an attorney. Learn it, know it, live it. Never, ever, for any reason, talk to them. Bad decision again, Nick, so we're definitely a pattern here. Of course, during this interview without counsel, Nick proceeds to lie to the police about the knife. First, it wasn't his, and he didn't know. It's just like, come on, dude. By the time Nick Mew ends up getting competent counsel, it's almost too late. Because by that point, even though it's not directly related to the self-defense claim, those actions post-stabbing, what he does with the knife, how he describes the incident to the police, those really aren't considerations to the self-defense claim, but try to get him out of the jury's mind when they know that Nick Mew lied to the police, threw the knife away. I mean, it has an effect, and it probably should. The self-defense claim actually ends up failing on the movement of Nick Mew's left arm to get Madison Cohen's arms off of him. The jury found that that was enough of a strike that he made first contact, even though the video showed that her hands were clearly on him multiple times before he moves his arm to bat her away. Their decision probably somewhat impacted by the fact that Nick Mew's a fucking liar who threw the knife away. They decide that that's enough to say you're guilty of reckless homicide. A few loose ends here on our semi-true crime episode of the Arch Independent Show. The prosecution plays a really shitty, unethical game in this case, and many others like it. So when they initially charge Nick Mew, they try to get him with a murder charge. But what the prosecution is allowed to do throughout the process of the trial is add lesser included. So rather than charging what they actually believe they can prove, they overcharge and then pack in lesser included, which allow juries to convict in a manner which they might not otherwise. So the jury didn't find that Nick Mew murdered anyone, because he didn't. He did act in self-defense, I think, legitimately when you watch the tape. But his post-stabbing actions are so off the charts terrible that the jury's inclined to say, okay, well, he didn't attempt to murder the people he stabbed, but he's kind of a piece of shit, it turns out, so we can't just not charge him with something. Let me grab for one of these lesser included. I think as a reflection on the justice system as a whole, that's a really unethical practice that, in my opinion, borderlines on an outright violation of civil rights. And I've never made it a secret, I have a strong bias towards defense in cases exactly because a lot of prosecutors do shitty, unethical things like overcharge, pack lesser included so they can jury tilt. But ultimately here on the Apple River on that July day in 2022, we had a microcosm of our society at large. Yes, that's right. I'm going to bring it home with one of those trite, ooh, now let me expand and show you how this is a symbol of society. Well, it kind of is. The five teenagers wanted to go viral, and the way to go viral is to humiliate an old man. We've got an old man who, at age 54, rather than be accountable and directly tell the authorities what happened, he chooses to throw the knife away and then lie not once but twice to the police in recorded statements. We have Madison Cohen, our beloved Karen of the River, who's going to rush into a situation that she knows absolutely nothing about and then start belligerently bullying Nick Mew. Finally, once the mob reaches its crescendo of cackling like hyenas and pointing and shoving this guy, he raises his arm and they launch the ass-whipping as the guy who's recording it yells, "For the culture." I'll take him at his word. It was for the culture. That is our society. So don't get got, homies.